Willing to Go In podcast here. Coming at you guys from a undisclosed location. So, I gotta say this. Shout out to the Kansas City Chiefs, man, on a hard-fought, competitive battle. I was constantly on my toes, freezing, trying to hope and pray that at some point there was going to be a win in the end. And there was a win, and that win came from the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Eagles won 21-17. You know, Jalen Hurts, we're just going to – let me just, first of all, we'll start from the very beginning. I managed to get some tickets or to get a ticket for myself. And shout out to my guy Mike and Aaliyah, his fiance Aaliyah. We all went together. And shout out to my guy Jay as well, man. Jay's a good dude. Went to his tailgate. And also, before I continue to do shout out to my guy Go. Go is the reason why I'm doing this podcast episode today. Okay, he's the reason why I'm doing it, and I'm thankful for him, and thankful for all the listeners as well. We'll get to that too. Anyways, managed to get to a tailgate, went to like 5 different ones, and also shout out to my guy Andrew as well, man. His family hooked me up with some food. Jay also hooked me up with some good food for like $5, man. It was all kinds of pasta, and like there was like an Eggo waffle moonshine or something like that. It was fantastic. It was great. And I was drunk most of the game. Overall, though, the experience that I had tailgating, it's always fun. Chiefs fans are fun. You know, they're a unique group of people. Very passionate, though. But going into the game, man, I was nervous. Not even gonna lie. I was super nervous. And going into the first half, you know, I was sitting around, like, there's maybe, like, one Eagles fan that was around me within, like, a, you know, 10-foot radius. We were all kind of scattered. But the Eagles fans, they showed out. The Philadelphia Eagles also showed out as well. And the Chiefs also showed out. That defense is for real, by the way. The Chiefs' defense is for real. Like, that's – there's no denying that. Like, I thought they were just a bunch of dudes, and I thought they were hype. But, like, they brought it. They definitely brought it for sure. And going into the half, I thought to myself, man, like, the Eagles are going to lose this game. But – they figured things out in the second half, and Jalen Hurts, you know, although he didn't have a single passing touchdown, the man just finds ways to win, you know. And when I'm looking at the job that the coaching staff did, I can tell that Jalen's a little more healthier than he's normally been. I think that bye week, like he said, couldn't have come at a better time. And it came at the right time because they were able to execute, you know, design runs for touchdowns. Love seeing and that pass to Devontae Smith was amazing. The Eagles defensive line, and also where I sat at, I was in row 233, seat 20. So I was kind of up there. You know, the weather was was less than ideal, but you know, it's football weather. And I was able to see some, like, certain things at the top because I like to watch football from an aerial view, look at coverages, you know, look at matchups and things like that. And you can literally see who gets open on the field. And Andy Reid drew up a really good, really, really good offensive scheme. But I feel like the Chiefs have a scripted playbook that they run, and they just, like, shy away from it. Isaiah Pacheco, he should have ran the football a lot more, but for whatever reason, man, the Chiefs just decided they didn't want to run the football anymore. And Pat Mahomes is throwing for 43 yards, and I think that – or not 43 yards, 43 pass attempts. And within those, you can almost guarantee an interception is going to happen. And those are all within the red zone. Like, it could have been over, you know. So now the national media is saying, well, you know, it was more so that the Eagles – it's not that the Eagles beat the Chiefs, it's that the Chiefs beat themselves and they don't have receivers and help for Pat Mahomes. We're going to address that as well right now. So, you know, two things can be true is that, yes, Pat Mahomes does not have receivers, but this is the same receiving core that you had last year minus Juju Smith-Schuster. So if that is the case, you know, what changed? literally, you went to the Super Bowl with Justin Ross had a touchdown. Not a touchdown, but he had a couple catches in the Super Bowl. Kadarius Toney, he had a Super Bowl touchdown, and so did Sky Moore. He did as well. The offensive line is still the same. Your offense is literally the same. So why is it now that it's a problem that Mahomes doesn't have help? And even then, you know, when they went to the Super Bowl, or when they won the Super Bowl on less than ideal field conditions, yes, I'm bringing that up. They go into this game. The field conditions were fine for the most part, but it was raining and it was terrible. It was a slop fest outside. And now, like, before the season started, and not to mention with these same quote-unquote no-name receivers, he was able to drag this team and get this team to 7-2, now 7-3, with the exception of the defense and how well that they played. Also, you know, I was once told that we have Pat Mahomes, a.k.a. he doesn't need help. He can make it work. And it's obvious that the Mahomes magic isn't rubbing off on the Chiefs, because a lot of drop balls. But they use that to take away the credit. And shout out to Nick Wright, who finally acknowledged that the Eagles are legitimate. You know, who finally acknowledged that, yes, they got the better of the Chiefs. That he just flat out admitted that he was that they lost. But a lot of Chiefs fans can't seem to understand is that, like, the Eagles are also good as well. And then this is also something I've realized. It's like they continue to bring up – this is how the arguments always go, okay? Shout out to Go. The argument is this, okay. Every team that beats the Chiefs, they're celebrating their Super Bowl, right? This is their Super Bowl. That's what they're saying. This is their Super Bowl. This is their Super Bowl. The Detroit Lions beat the Chiefs. Well, enjoy the regular season game. This is your Super Bowl. The Broncos beat the Chiefs. Oh, congratulations. You beat us one time out of how many years? This is your Super Bowl, Broncos. Then the Eagles beat the Eagles beat the Chiefs, and it's, well, congratulations. This is your Super Bowl. When the Eagles played them in the Super Bowl last season, this is their Super Bowl, but they were just there, and now they're 9-1. When is the media going to stop doubting the Eagles? I have no idea when, but why? Why are we doubting the Eagles' wins now? And I knew there was going to be an excuse for it, and I know that there's always going to be a safety net, because had the Chiefs won the football game, the argument would have been, well, Pat Mahomes won with no-name receivers and the defense, and the Eagles would be overrated. And I was told that the Eagles secondary was going to be exposed, but they held the Chiefs to, was it 10-9, 10-9, 8, 7-6, 5-4, 3-2-1, 0 points in the second half. No exposure. What are you going to expose them with? We knew you didn't have any receivers. And trust me, I'm pretty sure I listened to some podcasts where they said the matchups, I mean, Slay is washed, Bradbury's washed, the secondary's weak, but they held you guys to 0 points. It's amazing. And then, of course, you know, the resorting of the, well, hey, you know what, you didn't win a ring. This, we know that. You know why that is? Because it's a regular season game. The Eagles know they didn't win a Super Bowl, but they had the right to show out. You know, saying that, bringing up a Super Bowl ring in the next season, while you are, yes, the defending Super Bowl champions, and you, meaning the Chiefs, are reigning defending Super Bowl champions, but fans bringing that up as if it's some kind of a flex, that's almost like, that's like having a girl, right? That's like smashing a girl 8 months ago. And because now, you know, another dude like you smashed the girl and killed it after the dude that said that he did it, well, he brings up, well, I already hit 8 months ago. Nobody cares about that. That was 8 months ago. if that reference makes sense. It doesn't matter. Like, it's like bringing up something that happened to try to flex, and like, it doesn't matter. Pat Mahomes isn't thinking about 8 months ago. He's thinking about this season. He's trying to win this season. So no, this is not the Eagles Super Bowl because they were just there. So there goes that. Also, like, you know, it's not that serious, guys. I had qualms with the guy. Good guy. And he said I didn't look at it as like being like, I didn't take it too seriously, but had some very choice words for me after the game. And I understand that sometimes the passion can get the best of you. But, you know, people get out of pocket, man. They get out of pocket over sports teams that, you know, it's funny. It's just sports. It's funny. I get very animated. I get very upset as well. But I just can't see myself going to levels of like physical harm, threatening people and stuff like that. And I see it on Twitter. Some girl, I believe her name is what's this girl's name? I believe it's Sierra Jasso 4 on Twitter. Don't know who she is. She's pretty cute though. She's out here saying that like there's Eagles fans that are sending her death threats. They're sending her death threats. Like, I don't believe that. But here's the thing. It wouldn't surprise me, but that would mostly happen if the Eagles were to lose, but they won. So why would they send her death threats? That doesn't make any sense. It reminds me of that, like, that LeBron James, when he said that someone sprayed the N-word on his fence, and we never got proof to this day. So anyways, had to get that off my chest. Do I have anything else to talk about? No. As far as like Chiefs go. But yeah, overall it was a good game. And by Chiefs, I mean like any like gripes. That's another thing. MVS. You know, this is not a Chiefs podcast, by the way, but everyone, you know, is blaming MBS and, you know, none of that stuff would have happened, man. But the Eagles forced turnovers in crucial moments in the red zone. Even if you get 3 points out of that, you win the game. There was the Mahomes pick. There was the Travis Kelce fumble. And there was also Andy Reid not running the football, which helped. So, yeah, coulda, woulda, shoulda, right? But again, the media is like, well, it's more so that, you know, the Chiefs, they open themselves up to mistakes and blah, blah, blah. Look, whatever. But it was a great experience, though. Jalen Hurts, I'm going to get to them now. Jalen Hurts, he's the MVP. People only talk MVP when it benefits, like, stats. But he just took down the best, arguably the best team in the NFL. Even after a loss, I still think that it's a coin flip. If you gave me a coin and flipped the coin and said, hey, whoever this lands on is the best team, if it landed on the Chiefs, I would have no problem with that. They've proven that they're the cream of the crop and that they can beat anybody on any given Sunday, Monday, or Thursday, but they could not beat the Eagles. So you got to put the Eagles at the top now. So Hurts played his heart out, man, getting sacked 5 times. The offensive line was in shambles for the most part. The run game was effective. DeAndre Swift killed it. Everyone's talking about how, A.J. Brown had clamps put on him because he had 1 catch for 8 yards. Look, I know what I saw on the field. And people look at the numbers, but they probably didn't watch the game or see it how I saw it. There was a lot of bracketing. There was a lot of man coverage. There was a lot of double coverage, okay? Travis Kelce also saw triple. So here's the thing. So what is Jalen Hurts supposed to do if AJ is being double covered and bracketed? Is he still supposed to throw in that area? No, he's not. No, he throws to the open guys. He went through his progressions, made his reads, made the throws, executed. That's it. But that's clamps though, right? I heard that's clamps. Okay. Right. But meanwhile, Devontae Smith had 99 yards in a crucial catch near the 2-yard line, which led to the tush push. Yeah. I hope the Eagles pay him in the offseason. He deserves it. And AJ's due for he's due for a big game next week. So, yeah, it's always a back and forth with those guys. They're competitive. Nothing wrong with that at all. And again, DeAndre Swift, man, he's, you know, and he's a, definitely the silent hero in this as well. Also, the defense, Sean Desai, man. Sean Desai killed it. The defensive line for the Eagles, man, they killed it. Got pressure on Mahomes. You know, of course, he wiggled out of some of the, you know, some of the pressures, but he, yeah, they did good. Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, he had a good game. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, I think he was taken out towards the middle of, like, maybe the second half. I know he's having hamstring issues and stuff like that. He's very crucial on the run. Brandon Graham, you know, they, you know, and the secondary, man, Reed Blankenship, Kevin Byard with the nice read in the interception. Bradley Roby forcing a fumble, dude. Nicholas Morrow getting on the fumble. Like, I couldn't be more proud of this team, man. I couldn't, man. I'm, and it helped really, really set the tone for the next, like, couple months, because I was pretty down in the dumps, and this Eagles win definitely helped for sure, you know. But allow me to just be happy, okay? The Super Bowl rematch, it's probably going to happen. It wouldn't surprise me. Everyone's so uptight in this city. I'm going to wear my Eagles colors proud. I'm going to wear it proud. I said proud. I'm wearing proud. I think I should. But on the Buffalo, right? I know for Thanksgiving, you know, this is the first year me and my family are going to get together. And, you know, it's going to be more than just like five or six of us. It's going to be a lot of us. So I'm looking forward to that. You know, it happens to me every year. Like, I'm always like, man, I wish that I can't wait for Thanksgiving. I get that way. And the moment it gets here, I really don't care so much about the food aspect, because I don't like feeling bloated and stuffed. I just don't like that feeling. But I'm going to take it a little easy this year. And, you know, get active, obviously, and get back into the swing of things and ready to work. You know, still working on, you know, this certification stuff. Because we got a goal, man. I'm trying to get this money, yo. Really trying to get this money. And I'm going to get it one way or another. Well, just one way. There is no another. Unless I work harder, but I'll never have OnlyFans. But, yeah, man, I'm super excited for what's to come. And also, I said this as well. You know, I have this thing now. I have a trial period where I'm attempting to, be serious about, like, a relationship with a woman, right? And my trial period starts in March. So from March to August, I will attempt to try something serious with someone. But after that, if there's nobody by that point, by the end of August, you know, I don't think it's worth trying anymore, because then football season masks a lot of sadness that I used to have about, like, things not working out or being ghosted or, you know, things just being a letdown, especially when your team is undefeated, you know, when they're doing well. Because I don't really give shits as much as I used to. But definitely helps have being an Eagles fan, right? Definitely helps with that. So I would say from March to August, maybe even September, maybe. Yeah, I'm open to that. But once that's, you know, once the window's closed, you know, there's no point. Like, I don't think that I it's going to take me, you know, months to get to know someone. I meet their family after 1 month of dating, and then I get them a Christmas gift after month two. No. Nah. If we're going to try, we're going to try early on, like in spring, you know, AKA the off season, right? Take you through the gauntlet, take you through the draft, test your 40 time. And then, you know, I can make the pick by July, you know, and I could draft someone because I'm the GM here. But, yeah, Thanksgiving's going to be a good time. Always a good time. Great time. Any more shout-outs that I have? I don't think... Oh, shout-out to Malai, obviously. Shout-out to all my friends. I'm super thankful for you guys. And I'm doing this now because I'm not going to be on my phone at all Thanksgiving Day. And there will be football tomorrow. I believe the Eagles and not Eagles and Cowboys. Cowboys and Commanders. That'll be fun tomorrow. Definitely rooting for the Commanders. And and I think Black Friday is the Jets and is it Jets and Dolphins, I believe? Yeah. It'll be good times, man. But life is good. I'm super thankful, like I said, for the life that I live. I'm super thankful for my friends, my family, and God's good, man. Thankful for my career, thankful for my coworkers. You know, I have no complaints. None. So thank you guys for listening to the Willing to Go Ham podcast. Really appreciate the love and support. And have a happy Thanksgiving. Ooh, man, it kind of hurt. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Peace.